Well, it's been a major issue in the national news as well as the local news. Disparities with regards to race and policing, not just the high profile incidents that happen regarding people like Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, but also more everyday incidents like the ratio of likelihood of a search if you are stopped by police. That can be very, very different if you are black versus white versus Hispanic. And that has been true not just across the country, but numbers are indicating here locally as well. Last week, a big event at the United Church of Chapel Hill drew several hundred people out to discuss the issue. At it was Frank Baumgartner, political scientist from UNC, who's been studying this issue for some time. And he's got numbers that are rather striking. Again, not just national, but local. Frank Baumgartner joins us now on the air. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks very much, Aaron. It's a pleasure to be here.
So what do we know? I'm looking at the data that you've been able to compile from numbers in North Carolina with regards to racial disparities in policing. What are the most striking numbers here?
Well, I think it's very simple. The striking numbers are that if you're a young Hispanic or a young African-American male, you have a really high likelihood that in the situation where your car gets pulled over, you're much more likely to be searched than anybody else in the population. I should say that a young white male is also more likely to be searched than a female or an older person. But when you add race into the mix, those young men of color really are statistically twice or more likely to be searched compared to other people.
And this is, and we really should emphasize this, this isn't just the likelihood that you're going to get pulled over in the first place, but once you get pulled over, the likelihood that you're going to be searched. I'm looking at some of the numbers.
Exactly. And that's important for the listeners to understand. We don't know who's driving badly. We don't know who's wavering across lines. We don't know who's running red lights. And so the police officers are pulling people over. Usually it's because of speeding. About half of all the traffic stops relate to speeding, and those actually have the lowest rate of racial disparity. But when we get into things like broken taillights and expired registration tags, that's when we see that the racial disparities increase. And also, you know, you have to ask yourself, why, if someone's pulled over for an expired tag, why is it that they're more likely to be, that car is more likely to be searched?
Mm-hmm.
And it might be that the officer kind of wants to search that car because they have a visual cue that the person may be involved in drugs or something. And so the officer first decides that he wants to search the car, and then he figures out how can he pull this car over. But anyway, we're only looking at cases where once you've been pulled over, what's the odds that you'll be searched?
And these are numbers for North Carolina in general, right, from 2002 to 2015?
That's right. We have about, I think it's up to 20 million observations now. Every car that's been pulled over by a police officer in North Carolina since 2002, the officer fills out a form, and those forms are available through the state Department of Justice.
And I'm looking at the data here. If you are stopped, and this is for any reason, overall, if you are white, there's about a 2% chance that you're going to have your car searched. If you're black or Hispanic, it's 4 to 4.5%. So you're about twice as likely to be searched if you're black or Hispanic than if you're white, assuming you get pulled over.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's also good to remember that, you know, that we're still looking at 98% likelihood for whites that you don't get searched.
Mm-hmm.
And for blacks, you know, 95% likelihood. So it's searches are rare events.
Speaking with Frank Baumgartner, again, political scientist at UNC, who's got a lot of research on racial disparities in policing. How, we're looking at the number from 2002 to 2015 in North Carolina. Do we see disparities changing over time? Have they gotten greater or are they getting smaller?
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. You might imagine that, you know, things are going to get better over time, but actually the opposite is true. The trends for the ratio, the increased likelihood that the black driver will be searched compared to the white driver, started out in 2002 at about a 50% increased likelihood for males. And rather than being steady or decreasing, they've been steadily increasing. So that by 2013, they were about 1.5 times more likely, 150% more likely, I should say. So it's moving in the wrong direction. At the same time, the contraband hit rate, which is what the way we refer to the the likelihood that once they do a search, they find drugs or a weapon or some other form of contraband. That number has not changed. So there's an increasing targeting over time of minority drivers.
And this is specifically in North Carolina. Do we know how North Carolina numbers compare to other states?
Well, I'm busy now with my students trying to gather as much such data as we can possibly find. And we found reports for about maybe 10 states over many years, and also for lots of municipalities and particular police departments that offer them. And I would say that North Carolina is very much within the norms nationally. As a matter of fact, when the Department of Justice investigated Ferguson, Missouri, following all the events that started there, they identified a search disparity of about 70% increased likelihood for blacks in Ferguson. And that's about average for North Carolina. So there's nothing out of the ordinary for the data in North Carolina. And, you know, a listener could have two responses to that. You know, that's really good to know that North Carolina is no worse than anywhere else, or is about in the middle of the pack. But it really does speak to the question of, you know, we really do have a national problem. And I think all the police chiefs that I've talked to, and they understand that this is a serious issue. I think they also understand there might be some valid reasons why their officers target members of minority communities. Mm-hmm. But they also fear that they could be the next community that's on the hot seat, that something wrong could happen in almost any community in the United States.
Speaking again with Frank Baumgartner, professor of political science at UNC, has got numbers about racial disparities in policing. We're focusing on racial disparities in policing because that's been the issue, but you mentioned it earlier, and it's really worth emphasizing that there are disparities with regards to age and really especially gender here, too.
So very much so. And, you know, if I'll say this as a joke, but I mean, if I were consulting, which I do not do, by the way, if I were consulting with a drug courier ring, I would notify my elderly grandmother, who's a Caucasian female over the age of 70. She would be the person that's car is very unlikely to be searched. But if you're female, you're less likely. If you're older, you're less likely to be searched. And, of course, listeners, might say, well, of course, the police department isn't going to target grandma for searching for drugs. But the point is that, people may, on the other hand, may expect things should really depend on what you're doing rather than what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are alienating a lot of young men. And a lot of older men and members of minority communities are accustomed to the idea that they may have been pulled over for reasons that they really can't get their head around. They really may feel that they were unjustly targeted for harsher treatment than somebody else may have been given. And so I think we are in a situation where, unfortunately, people have felt that they've been unjustly targeted, and we're seeing a lot of anger and resentment about that.
Do we have a sense of the cause? I know one of the things that's sort of been thrown around, one of the arguments that's been tossed around with this debate in the last couple of weeks as well, you can sort of narrow the disparity down to a couple bad apples here and there, and if we could just get rid of the bad apples, then the disparity would go away. But is that the case?
Well, that's a good question, and I have been able to look at that in some detail, and the answer is very clearly no. Obviously, it would be good to identify any particular police officers who may be biased in their behaviors. And occasionally, we do see some officers who, from the numbers, you know, may have pulled over 500 white drivers and, you know, 500 black drivers and have almost never searched a white person. But they've searched, you know, 10% of the black drivers or even more. Mm-hmm. So you do see in the data occasionally an officer with that profile, and I think that's definitely worth some investigation on the part of their supervisors. But that's not most of where the racial disparity comes from. It comes from, I think, much more subtle and modest and disparities that are widely spread across a lot of different officers. And I think a lot of it has to do with what policing people would call the policing by place. That is, the police tend to focus on particular hot spots where crimes may be more likely to occur, and then the police everybody in those communities much more aggressively, which by contrast means that if you live in a neighborhood that's not one of those hot spots, that is a relatively nice neighborhood, the policing is a lot more soft touch. And so, of course, those neighborhood distinctions tend to be correlated with race. So there really is a different style of policing depending on not only who you are, but also where you live.
And that would suggest, and I don't know if this is the case or if there are numbers on this or not, but that the race of the officer doesn't even necessarily matter, that you would see the same disparity with white police officers, black police officers, Hispanic police officers. But is that the case?
That I don't know. I think that your supposition is probably on the money. I think a lot of people have the idea that it might be related to race of the officer, and I think that and that's also related to concerns across the country that our police departments don't reflect our communities in terms of who the officers are, and I think there's a legitimate concern about that. But I haven't been able explicitly to test that idea because I don't know, in the data set that's made available by the state of North Carolina, we don't know the rate, we don't know any information about the officer.
Is it becoming increasingly easy or increasingly difficult to find data? I know there's part of this conversation involves a conversation about transparency and open data, and that's something that we're talking about in North Carolina.
Well, North Carolina actually was the first state in the country to mandate the collection of such traffic statistics. That was in 1999. And they rolled it out in 2000, but it was limited to the Highway Patrol. And then since 2002, every department in the state has had to report these data every month. And so we've been a leader on that issue. And so other states have come online. And, of course, with today's focus on monitoring the police and official statistics, it's becoming more and more common. And, of course, that's just part of, government transparency and the rise of big data in general. So, yeah, it's very clear that more and more we're seeing more and more data availability and greater ability of citizens to look at these trends.
Speaking again with UNC Professor Frank Baumgartner, and Dr. Baumgartner, we've got to let you go in just a second, but final question, what might address this problem? I know in the context of this conversation, a bunch of different possible solutions have been talked about. Implicit bias training is one, trying to influence the racial makeup or the gender makeup or the age makeup of the police force so that it's closer to the community that they're policing. Body cameras, of course, are being talked about. Are there communities or states where these numbers are better, and if so, is there something that they're doing that everyone should be modeling themselves after?
Well, one thing that a number of communities have done around the state and nationally, including Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Durham, is to mandate a written consent form before a search might be conducted. There's a lot of different ways in which an officer can conduct a search. And for example, if the officer observes some illicit behavior, or he sees you committing a crime, or he sees, you know, a gun in your car that may not be, or he sees any contraband visible, he doesn't have to ask your permission. He can search your car and arrest mm-hmm. you. And that's what's called a search with probable cause. But if he doesn't have probable cause, he can ask your permission. And that's called a consent search. And he might and many people might find that question from the officer to be a little bit intimidating, so to speak. And they might feel that there's only one proper response, which is, yes, of course, officer, do whatever you'd like to. And so that's an area where if the officer does not have probable cause and he has to conduct what's called a consent search, that might be an area where there's a little bit more likelihood of implicit bias. And indeed, we do see that consent searches have a relatively high racial disparities. So one solution is not to allow the officer simply to ask for your permission, but to have you sign a waiver that explicitly recognizes that you have the constitutional right to say no. And when that's happened, the number of consent searches declines precipitously.
We got to let you go here. Is there a place where people can go to get more information on this?
Yeah, they can simply Google my name, Frank Baumgartner at the University of North Carolina Political Science Department. I have a website that has all kinds of traffic statistics and analyses and published articles and links to where they can find more information.
All right. Frank Baumgartner, UNC Political Science. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.